curveball line into right field. Diving play, Bautista. Did he make it? Yes, he did. Jose Bautista cutting toward right center as he plays in the shift, makes a great diving play.
That was just a phenomenal play, and I don't know how all the advanced metrics are going to rate that. The UZR, a third baseman in short right field. I mean, that's some serious range on the part of Jose Bautista. A phenomenal grab, the shift on Mitch Moreland to lead off the sixth inning and help Brett Cecil to his complete game four-hit shutout. The Blue Jays beat the Rangers 3-0. That's the play of the game, brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost. Goodbye waiting. Another first, only from Rogers. And that's the way you want to end a series, especially after a night like last night. And this Blue Jay team has shown the ability to bounce back, the ability to not get down after blowing a game. And the last time they blew a game in spectacular fashion was in Cleveland right before the All-Star break, and they won the next three. Last night, you know, that might have sparked a four-game win streak because they got the Orioles next. And Brett Cecil went out there and had the best game of his career, the first nine-inning shutout of his career, a four-hitter against a red-hot Texas team that had won 14 of its last 16. Just a fantastic performance, and he was hitting 93 and 94 on the gun in the ninth inning. He wound up throwing 121 pitches and ended it with a strikeout of Mike Napoli, the notorious lefty crusher, who was 0 for 3 tonight. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-660-0590. And if you're good, maybe even an extendo. But we're going to start things off with Tom in Ajax. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike. Well, I called in last night, and I was not too happy. And if you recall, I did say during part of my spiel that maybe the Jays will surprise us and beat Alexei Agondo, and they went out and did it.
They went out and did it. You know what? And I didn't think that they had much of a chance. This guy has been spectacular this season, and he was spectacular tonight, but for one inning. Absolutely. And that was enough with Cecil pitching the way he did.
Yeah, baseball is a crazy game. And if anyone is listening tonight that didn't listen last night, I was ripping on John Farrell pretty good for some of the moves / non-moves he made last night. But I want to give him some credit tonight, not for what he did tonight at all, but 5 days ago, people that remember, he kind of had a one-way conversation with Brett Cecil in the dugout. And I believe since then he's gone 14 consecutive scoreless innings.
You are correct.
So, you know what?
And he's allowed, I believe, six hits over those 14 innings.
Absolutely. So he's been masterful. And John Farrell has to deserve some credit for that. I will swallow my pride and say, hey, John Farrell, you didn't do such a great job last night, I thought, but...
You weren't the one who said... You weren't the guy who said they should have walked Nelson Cruz in the fifth, right?
Yes, and I still stand by that, but that's already been covered. The only other thing would be, whatever that spiel is, I hope you wrote it down, and maybe run out to the bullpen, before every ninth inning when they have a lead.
Yeah, just scream at them in the bullpen. Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Plead with them. Somebody, step up. Anyway, if the starter can go nine innings like that, you don't need a bullpen. So
right.
Problem solved.
Exactly. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the pride swallowing. And you know what? Credit to John Farrell, too, for leaving him out there for the ninth. Not that he had much choice. But I wouldn't have been surprised had the Blue Jays gone to the bullpen in the ninth inning just because of the heat. Just because of the heat. 97 pitches in that kind of heat. But Brett Cecil was allowed not only to go out there, but to go out there and throw 24 pitches in the ninth inning. And good for him. Gets his first shutout. Gets the Blue Jays a big win. Harvey's in Scarborough. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello. I was wondering about what Alan Ashby kept referring to as Jose Bautista's shift into right. I just can't picture a third baseman moving into right field, but perhaps you could clarify what that's all about.
When they have the when you have one of those left-handed super pull hitters, like, I guess, like the spray charts say Mitch Moreland is, like Josh Hamilton, Mike Napoli, or not Mike Napoli, David Ortiz, those guys, then the thing to do in the game has been to put three infielders on the right side of second base with one guy playing kind of a very deep second base, almost in short right, well, in short right field, almost in right field. But usually they just move the shortstop over to where the second baseman usually is and move the second baseman into that deepish second base spot, and the third baseman comes over and plays short. But the way the Blue Jays did it tonight, Jose Bautista moved all the way from third base over to that spot between the first baseman and second baseman in short right field. So that's where
really?
He was playing on the shift.
You know, you listen to this on the radio, it's hard to sort of picture that. I don't watch it on TV. I can't watch television.
Well, I'm glad that you
listened
to
it. So I thought when he said shift, he kept shifting back into a right field.
No.
And like, who? I was wondering who the hell's at third. No.
Nobody was at third.
Exactly.
Third base
was
completely
there.
Unoccupied at those points in time.
I just meant to say, I enjoy the games much better with Alan Ashby on, with that other fella, because he focuses much more on the game. I'm not really interested in all these interviews and happy birthday to Paige Victoria stuff. I like to hear the focus on the game. And Alan Ashby's very businesslike, but he makes it very entertaining and things like that.
We will pass that along, Harvey. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Michael in Waterloo. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. I'm here to defend Jerry, who's in the Hall of Fame weekend. Don't worry.
He doesn't need a defense. Jerry's been
doing
this for 31 years.
Exactly. Hey, listen, I mean, it's amazing, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. Brett Cecil 2 weeks ago, Brett Cecil today. Phenomenal. That's, it only happens in baseball that things turn in a dime like that. It's just so eerie and bizarre, but it's great to see, obviously.
Cecil hasn't had a bad start since he's been back.
That's what I mean. I mean, but since he's been back, you know, it's like, whatever, maybe it's longer than 2 weeks ago, but I'm just saying it's amazing how, you know, things, people have thought that his arm was something wrong with his arm, his velocity wasn't there. It's an amazing game that way, that things can turn, you know?
It is.
I just have a quick thought, and I missed all the hand-wringing last night, so I won't get into too much of it, but I was at the cottage today with my son, and my son's 10 years old, and, you know, he's becoming a deep Blue Jay fan, and he loves your program as well.
Good.
And he said, Dad, you know, if we had a better bullpen, would we be in the wild card race?
No.
And I thought, like, is there 5 or 6 or 7 wins that we would have had, and therefore maybe made a move at the trade deadline, which we may or may not do now, obviously, would it have made a major difference, or are we too early in the development process to even care about that?
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And you know what? If the bullpen had pitched better this year, they would probably have 6 more wins.
Yeah.
6 more wins. But remember, too, that they've also won 7 times when the other guy's blown a save.
That's true.
So if the other guy's bullpen had pitched better, they might have only 4 of those wins.
That's fair enough,
right? So you got to kind of do it that both ways. But regardless, even if the Blue Jays bullpen were perfect, let's say, and if they'd had, you know, all those 10 wins back that they've lost because of blown saves, and that would have them a half game ahead of the Yankees right now and holding the wild card, which is a lot to ask for perfect bullpen.
Sure.
But I still don't think that they would make those short-term moves because the idea is, you know, it's a really long-term thing.
No, and I also totally agree with your philosophy about not, you know, investing crazy money in you know, relievers and so on. Like, it's just you know, it's such a shell game, whereas you have guys like, of course, Seriano and others, you know, even Benoit in Detroit and so on, you know, where guys who had, you know, who are phenomenal for a period of time, they're dropping $10 million on them a year, and then, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, whereas, you know, you get guys like Juan Cruz or people like that who kind of, you know, they resurface, if you know what I mean, and you kind of cycle people through. I hope, you know, over the next year or two that there's an ability to enhance, obviously we all do, to enhance the bullpen, because my goodness, the starting pitching, you know, if Cecil's truly back and they have the top three with Drabek coming later on, you know, it is going to be what's been advertised, you know, so.
Yeah, and the thing is, the strong relievers wind up emerging. You know, you can look down the list of everybody's closer almost.
Right.
And, you know, they just, they happened. They weren't brought in specifically to be the closer. They didn't have a track record as a closer, and then they kept on being a great closer. They just found their guy somehow.
Right.
Right? And you mentioned Joaquin Benoit, Rafael Soriano.
Well, then you have Daniel Bard. You have all these guys who, you know, over time, and he's the next, you know, closer for the Red Sox, obviously.
One hopes, maybe. You never know. I mean, he could wind up getting traded. He could wind up moving into the rotation. Lots of things could happen. There are very rarely is the Dwayne Ward type. You know,
but I guess one quick one. Do we have that kind of arms? You know, I know we have all the starting arms. Do we have the kind of arms like a Zach Stewart could end up being a closer? I mean, do we have the kind of arms that potentially over time would move into the end of the bullpen?
They do. It's just a matter of figuring out who it's going to be.
All right. Good stuff. Right.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You know, I look down the list. Boston's closer is Jonathan Papelbon. He was a guy who they thought was going to be a starter. Mariano Rivera was a guy the Yankees thought was going to be a starter. Kyle Farnsworth is the Tampa closer. He came over as a reliever, wasn't a closer last year. And he's tried to be a closer a whole bunch of different times, and this is the first time he's actually succeeded. Jose Valverde with the Tigers is one guy who was a closer, brought over to be a closer, and is a closer. But not many others. You know, Chris Perez in Cleveland. Sergio Santos with the White Sox was a shortstop when they got him. Joe Nathan was a middle reliever, failed starter, now in Minnesota. Neftali Feliz, the Texas closer, was a starter. They tend to emerge. And rarely do you find a team that goes out and gets themselves a closer that puts them over the hump. Who's actually a closer when they get him. To Burlington, Len, you're on the J-Stock.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good.
I just was wondering, who do you think they're going to call up to be the fifth starter?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yesterday, John Farrell addressed it a little bit and said it's going to be one of Zach Stewart, Brad Mills, Jesse Litch. They could put the guy in on Thursday against the Orioles, and if they did, then it would be Stewart. They could put him in Saturday against the Rangers. If they did that, it would be Litch. If it were up to me, it would be Jesse Litch. He deserves it. He hasn't done anything to warrant being sent down. And, you know, it's just the right thing to do is to give the job to Jesse Litch. I don't know if they're going to do that or if they're going to give it to Stewart. I know that Deck McGuire tweeted that he got called up to AA today, which may mean that Zach Stewart's coming up. It may not, but again, if it were me, it would be Litch. Wouldn't surprise me if it were Stewart.
And just one more quick point. I think the Jays should have retired Steve's number before they retired Alomar's.
Okay. Now Dave Steve was a huge part of this team for a long, long time, and he was their first great player. But Roberto Alomar is going to the Hall of Fame. And that's, or he's in now, the Hall of Fame, and that's pretty huge. Eric is in Cooperstown. Eric.
Hi, Mike.
They have phones in Cooperstown?
Yeah, well, the hotel where I'm staying has a phone anyway.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it, of course, doesn't have a Blue Jays game on TV or on the radio, so I had to watch the bottom ticker on ESPN.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, at least I saw that we won tonight, unlike yesterday and the day before. So that was good, and I was amazed when I saw that it was a shutout and it was Cecil. That's great news.
He was terrific. He really was sensational. A four-hit shutout, one base runner, passed first all night.
Wow, that's incredible. I almost wish that he wasn't lighting up the radar gun. You know, if he did this with his lower numbers, that might almost give him confidence on those days. But
well, he wasn't really lighting it up until the ninth.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting.
So it wasn't all game long.
The 93s and 94s really only showed up in the ninth.
Oh, okay. Wow, he must have been really pumped.
Yep.
but what I'm calling about is obviously the induction of Alomar and Gillick and Blylevin. It was just a fantastic experience.
Yeah, tell me all about it.
Yeah, there was tons of Blue Jay fans everywhere these last couple days. You know, sadly, there's almost more Jays fans here than sometimes at the Dome there, so... But it was kind of cool. There was fans all around the city of all different teams. You know, I saw, you know, a bunch of fans for almost every major league team. I don't know. There might have been a couple teams that weren't represented, but there was fans everywhere. A huge contingent of Puerto Rican fans for Alomar. And during the national anthems, the Canadian anthem was actually louder in the crowd than the American one. You know, there was good support for the Jays. And, yeah, it was really cool. When Gillick and Alomar were talking, that's the first time I've ever had goosebumps in weather that hot, I tell you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just, it was a great experience. And I haven't been to the Hall of Fame yet. I'm going tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that as well. And, just all in all, I highly recommend it. And if you ever do come on an induction weekend, a good tip that we figured out is on the day before, take your lawn chairs and put them out in the field and stake your spot, because then that's what everyone seems to do. And then that next day, you've got your spot all picked out already. So it's pretty handy.
That's cool. That's great advice. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you were there and had a good time. And enjoy the heck out of going through the museum tomorrow. And make sure you walk past the spot where Tom Cheek's name's going to go. In a couple of years for the Ford Frick Award. Just a great day today to be a Blue Jay fan, to remember the greatness from Roberto Alomar, from Pat Gillick. An amazing day out there. And I'm jealous of everybody who did get to go. Travis is in Mississauga. Hey, Travis.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? I just wanted to get right to it. Someone kind of stole my thunder a little bit earlier, but I'll see if you can just clarify this up for me a little bit more.
Sure.
When they sent JoJo Reyes down to AAA and they brought up, like, Wilfred Letez, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
They haven't sent Reyes down to AAA. He's been designated for assignment, so he may go down to AAA. He may get released. He may get traded.
Okay.
We're still not sure yet, but Wilfredo Ledesma, yes, has come up for him.
Okay, and yeah, the only thing I wanted to know was, like, isn't Jesse Litch supposed to be coming up soon?
We don't know. It might be Jesse Litch, it might be Zach Stewart, it might be Brad Mills, but they may not need that starter until Saturday. They definitely won't need him until Thursday, so they wanted to make sure that, you know, they had things covered and brought up another pitcher.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to ask you was that before the Blue Jays game, they were talking about how John Farrell, like, kind of told Brett Cecil that, like, he had to, like, let go of the ball a little bit earlier, like he was holding it in his glove too long. And I want to know if, like, you think that's the reason he had such a good game tonight, or was it just kind of the luck of the draw?
I don't know if it's either one of those things. I mean, and I don't know if it was what Farrell told him, where he just told him to get his act together after the second inning of the Seattle Mariners game. He did not use the word act, but
being radio friendly.
That's right. It's a family show. And since then, like the first caller said, since then he's thrown 14 shutout innings.
I guess he just needed a little kick in the butt then.
Maybe. He did change his delivery, changed his setup a little bit tonight. And I have a feeling after the way he pitched tonight, it is going to stay that way. So it might have had a little bit to do with a whole bunch of different things.
All right, man. Keep up the good work on the Jays this week.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Blue Jays This Week, the podcast with Bennis and I, getting a little bit of love. I like that. We will likely record another one tomorrow if Bennis feels like it. Should we take another call? Let's take another call. Keith is in Rochester, New York. You on your way back from Cooperstown?
No, but I had to call in because of Bert Blylev and, you know, going to the Hall of Fame, being Rochester's affiliate up in Minnesota. He's a great color commentator. I remember him vaguely when he was a pitcher in the league. I was young back then, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. I only remember him a little bit myself.
But I do remember the World Series years with the Blue Jays and Pat Gillick building that dynasty in 92 and 93 and that's when I really started to become a Blue Jays fan. You know, I'm pretty close to the border where I live now, you know. And Brett Cecil, in fact, I saw him pitch back in 2007 with the Auburn Double Bays when they won the New York Penn League Championship. So I'm glad that he's doing well on the Hill now. And,
that's awesome. Are they still playing that little ballpark in Auburn, same one that they played in 15
Falcon
years ago?
Park. Yeah, Falcon Park.
Yeah.
So,
I remember doing games there. That was a blast. I got a speeding ticket in Auburn. You got to help me out with that.
Days, I try to someday. You know, I don't have any connections with the police agency there, though.
Oh, well.
I believe it, though. I mean, you know, they probably try to make money that way.
Yeah.
A small community like Jerks. That, you know. It's not like, the, you know, the GTA, right? But anyway, yeah, so I was going to ask you, do you think there's ever a chance that the Buffalo Bisons and the Toronto Blue Jays would ever become affiliates?
You know what I do? I do, and I think it could happen as early as 2013. There are rumors that Buffalo is not happy with the Mets. I don't know how true that is or how not true it is. I understand, at least I'm led to understand, that the Mets signed Miguel Batista and Gustavo Chacin and sent them to Buffalo to start, specifically so that the Bisons could win a few games, because they were starting to, their patience was beginning to wear thin. The Blue Jays would love to be in Buffalo. And if Buffalo wants them, the Blue Jays will be there as soon as their contract in Vegas is over at the end of next season. Thanks for the phone calls. We are going to take a look at the scoreboard when the Jays talk continues, but we will keep the phone lines open and we might extendo things up. 416-870-0590, star 590, a long distance, 1-888-666-0590. A win for the Blue Jays, 3-0 in Texas. It's the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Escobar leads from first, does not go. The pitch is driven on a line into left center field, and this is going to gap and go to the wall. Escobar coming to third. He'll be waved home by Butterfield. Here comes Unel. Here's the throw, not in time. Diving back into second is Bautista as the throw from Napoli heads that direction. RBI double. Bautista has the Blue Jays on top. 1-0 here in the sixth inning.
Finally breaking up a great pitcher's duel between Alexi Egondo and Brett Cecil. Through five innings, there were just a total of five hits, all singles. But in the top of the sixth, that first extra base hit of the ballgame, Jose Bautista drove in Yunel Escobar to make it 1-0. Escobar 3-for-3 with a walk tonight. And after Adam Lind flied out to center, Edwin Encarnacion and Travis Snyder with back-to-back RBI doubles to make it 3-0 Blue Jays, and that's the way it would finish Brett Cecil. His best game of the big leagues, a complete game, four hits, shutout, walking two, striking out seven. And the Blue Jays are back at 500 at 51-51. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. We are going to Extendo for just the one segment to 11:20. So get those cards and letters in right now. Give us a phone call at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Lines are open. And after the 20, we will replay the induction speeches, Roberto Alomar's and Pat Gillick's, from the Hall of Fame this afternoon in Cooperstown, New York. A huge day, a huge weekend for Toronto, for Canada. Just pretty awesome. So Extendo Jays Talk for one segment. If you want to call in and eat some crow on Brett Cecil, we'd love to have you. Cecil has been terrific since coming back from his exile to Las Vegas. And since John Farrell came over and sat beside him and just laid into him, told him to get his act together, though not in so many words, Brett Cecil has thrown 14 innings of six-hit shutout. That's good. Marty is in Aurora. You're on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
That's good. I just wanted to comment briefly on the Alomar thing. And what it really did was it just brought back memories of how lucky Toronto was to have, you know, a contending team for, you know, several years in a row. And I didn't realize that Alomar was only with the Jays a short time.
5 years.
I thought he was, for some reason, there longer. But, I mean, just to see that just brought back memories of a team that had chemistry where it just seemed like all the pieces of the puzzle just fit together. They had that stability. And, you know, I've been critical of you know, the Jays, but more out of frustration than anything, because I'm hoping for that moment where we can see that chemistry pop back again. And one other quick point I just wanted to mention was not long ago. I was listening to some. I'm always listening to the fan, of course.
Good, of course.
And
you should be.
I think it was Jim Fanning was he filling in for a little while?
Yeah, he was on with us a couple of weekends ago.
And found that really interesting. I was telling the producer there how it kind of brought back memories of the old early Win. That's probably before your time.
I don't remember much of early, but I do remember some.
Just hearing those comments, and one last quick thing. And I don't know, you know, exactly what your agenda is like, but I heard you actually calling a game not long ago.
Yeah, when
and
Fanning
if I must
was
say,
on.
I don't know if you do this often or not, but I totally enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
Totally enjoyed it.
Tell it to the people.
And we're not related, but it brought back memories of when I first heard Dan Shulman.
Wow.
And I heard him when, you know, he was kind of, we'll just say, not that well known, and I said to myself, geez, he's got talent. And you called, I don't know if you've done that very often or not, but I heard you on radio calling a game. I don't know whether it was with...
It was with Fanning. I've done 11 games this year. And
You called some innings there, and they were really good, and I just have to compliment you on that. I really, really enjoyed your call and just gave it a... I don't know. I'm an old-time journalism graduate from Humber College, although I never pursued it. But when you were calling some of those innings, man, you were making the game. I don't know if it was really as exciting as it was, but you sure made it sound exciting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot, and
I'd like to hear an agent. I'd like to hear that more often if it's possible.
And there are people to whom you can write and call, and that they can try to make that happen. I would love to have it happen more often too. I have a blast when I get that opportunity. Thank you so much. It really is. I really do appreciate that. I have to tell you, and the check is in the mail. Let's go to Newark, Ohio, Jim. Hey, Jim.
How are you? I shouldn't have said that.
No, because I don't care, really. I know.
It's just an impulse thing. Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you, too often people call you and they don't want to talk about that night's game. They want to talk about, you know, Brett Lowry for the bazillionth time. But
yes.
I just got a rave about Brett Cecil.
Good. Please do.
In that heat. That was awesome. Saved the bullpen for 2 days. According to the internet, though, they said it was 105 degrees down there.
I heard it was 98, but, you know, you never know.
Oh, my. But, I mean, just to look at that. And
it's crazy. Sandler,
when I watched him 2 weeks ago on TV against the Indians, he was having trouble throwing strikes to left-handed hitters. And just Texas is as daunting a lineup as you'll see. It really is. And just to go out and throw that game against them and get that shutout, complete game, I just have to rave about it. I mean, I hope he's turned a corner and he's going to start pitching again like he did last year. But, yeah, there's a lot of things to be excited about with this team right now. I've been following the Blue Jays since day one. They're better than the 82 team, but not quite as good as 83. But I see the progress, and I think we got something special building there. I really do.
Yeah, and I can't disagree, and I appreciate it, Jim. And we don't get enough calls about that night's game here on this program. And you're right; there was a lot to rave about from Brett Cecil tonight. He was spectacular, and I got to see the 83 team a little bit here. The 83 team, though it was in first place in August when Joey McLaughlin started bringing his gas can to the mound on a regular basis, they were a closer short. Now, this team is more than a closer short. You're right. And maybe it's the 82 team. But whether it's 82 or 83, there were some fantastic things about to happen in Toronto, and I feel very definitely the same way. Now, there are some fantastic things to happen in Toronto. And who knows, maybe in Barrie. That's where Jake is. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm all right.
Good. Pouring rain.
In Barrie?
It is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm on the road, but I'm on my way home from Cooperstown. And I just, you already covered it, but it was a terrific day, terrific weekend, and both Gillick and Alomar did Canada very proud today, and the Blue Jays organization. It was just phenomenal. I think Alomar tore the cover off the ball with his speech. He just, he was terrific, touched every chord, touched every beat, and had a lot of support from the whole crowd. It was really something.
I'm glad. I'm glad you were there, and I'm glad you got to enjoy it. Was that your first time in Cooperstown?
I had been there once about 20 years ago, but not on an induction weekend. And the town was alive, although I met some other people who said there weren't as many as other years. They thought it was a little bit quiet, although I didn't wouldn't have anything to compare it with. I felt a little bit bad for Blylevin because at least 40% or more of the crowd left after Robbie's speech.
Oh, that's not nice.
Because it was very hot and very long afternoon with a lot of speeches and stuff, and Blylevin was last. And, you know, people come along, we have to get in the car and go. The 2% is a little bit hard to get to. But yeah. It was great. And one other thing, just by happenstance, I ran into Jerry Howarth today. Don't know him at all. And he was very accommodating. We had a nice chat, took some pictures. 30 years with the Blue Jays. I couldn't believe it's been that long. And I think he's done a terrific job. And it's been great to hear him all these years.
Well, so I appreciate that. Thank you, Jake. I'm glad, again, glad you had a great time. Glad you got to meet Jerry. That's always fun. No question about it. And it's great to hear from the people who were down there in Cooperstown. It must have been, love to have been there. We have a couple of lines open, a few minutes left of Extendo Jays Talk. And later on at 11:21, we will have Pat Gillick's induction speech for you. At 11:41, Roberto Alomar's induction speech. So stick with us. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 3-0 tonight to salvage the finale of the three-game road trip. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Ben is in Shelburne. Ben.
How you doing? Sorry, I wasn't supposed to ask, but I was just a comment about Thursday night. You said potentially maybe Zach Stewart's going to get called up, but I was thinking, I looked at the numbers in AA there. What about Alvarez or Joel Cordero, I think his name is?
Joel Carreno. No, it's too early for those guys.
Yeah, because Carreno is, what, 130 strikeouts, like ERAs, and like the low threes or twos. I was just wondering how
he's on the 40-man, actually.
Pardon me?
He's on the 40-man, but Alvarez isn't. But, though, I mean, those guys are just touching AA for the first time, and it's way too early for them to get called up. It's not going to happen.
Like, they would have to move to AAA before they'd ever have a chance?
Not necessarily, but, I mean, you're talking about guys who are in their third month in AA. You know, so it takes a long time to develop into a major league caliber pitcher. And you don't want to rush these guys. There's no reason to rush them.
What about Jenkins, too, Chad Jenkins? I know he got called up from single, I think, this year, and he was pitching really great at the start. I didn't really check him out recently.
He was drafted last year, 2 years ago. It was a 2009 draft pick. No,
I'm really rushing this, eh?
Really rushing this.
And Drabek, no chance of getting called up again?
Drabek's pitching tonight. He's pitching right now, actually, for Vegas. They're leading Tucson 4-3 in the fourth. He hasn't given up an earned run yet. 4 innings, 3 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So not terrible, but 72 pitches in 4 innings. He'll be back soon, but not for this start.
No. Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I understand you want to see the kids, and it's exciting, and you've heard so much about them, but don't rush. Aaron in Burlington. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I was just wondering, we were just coming home from Cooperstown. It was wonderful. We saw the induction ceremony.
Awesome.
And I was just wondering what your thoughts are and maybe any other caller's thoughts on if Joe Carter is going to make it.
Joe Carter's already off the ballot.
He's off the ballot. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
So why is that?
Because he's not close to being a Hall of Famer.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought maybe that classic home run to win the World Series might...
Yeah, you know what? Roger Maris isn't in the Hall of Fame, and he had that 61 home run year. And
is that right? I had no idea. He's better than Mickey Mantle that year.
That year. One year doesn't make a Hall of Famer. Certainly,
no,
like,
that's very true.
Yeah, like Joe, one swing of the bat doesn't make a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, maybe I'm just sentimental.
Wow, and you should be. You're a Blue Jay fan. It was a great home run.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was very young when I saw it, and that's the thing that I keep remembering in my head, him jumping up and down.
And that's the thing a lot of Blue Jay fans keep remembering. Absolutely. Yeah, but no, I mean, and it's funny, in the early years of this Jays Talk program, we used to get into it a lot about Joe Carter. Joe Carter's career was not close to Hall of Fame worthy.
No.
He was a very good player, but...
Not even close. I'm not sure what the lady's name is that it runs Cooperstown. She was saying there was 17,000 players that have played in the majors and only 205 have made it.
I think her name is Jane. I want to say Jane Clark.
Something, I'm not sure.
Something like that. Yeah. That's the deal, right? It's a pretty exclusive club.
That's true. And just one more quick comment about Brett Cecil.
Sure.
I think he's great, and I don't understand where all the negativity comes towards him. If you really watch him pitch, he has really good stuff, and he's just going to get better.
I think the negativity is just seems like part of being a Blue Jay fan lately.
Oh, that's sad.
But yeah,
it really is. For your team.
And Brett Cecil, you know, what a lot of people forget about Brett Cecil is he's just a baby. Yeah. I think he's 24 years old, and to have the success that he's had already is pretty impressive, and he has been sensational. I agree. I think we have a lot worse off pitchers
than Brett Cecil. Yep. So
I'm with you.
Yeah. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate the call. Love hearing from these people on their way back from Cooperstown with their hands-free wireless devices, I'm sure. Allie is in Toronto. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm calling on the Bluetooth. Don't worry.
Nice.
I just want to get your opinion on Aaron Hill.
Yes.
How long maybe he's going to use that concussion as an excuse. Well, maybe not him, but I know some of his fans have used that. And
I don't know anybody who's used a concussion as an excuse. Aaron Hill had the best year of his life after the concussion.
All right. Well, then what would you say this year? What's the plan with Brett Lowry? Is there an option of him going to second? Is Aaron Hill going to be around for a while still?
I don't know. I mean, I think Aaron Hill's going to be around for the rest of this year, and I can't imagine the Blue Jays picking up the options on his contract unless he goes absolutely nuts for the next 60 games. But Brett Lowry's not going back to second. He was moved off of second because he wasn't good at second, not because Aaron Hill was at second.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Aaron Hill's defense is pretty up, like it's great.
It has been. He's not been as great this year as he's been in the past. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Hill. Aaron Hill doesn't know what's going on with Aaron Hill. I don't think anybody does, but it's really too bad to see. At the moment, he's a type B free agent, so if the Blue Jays offer him arbitration and he declines, they'll get a first-round pick if he leaves as a free agent. But at this point, I can't imagine him declining arbitration because we guarantee him at least $4 million next year, and he's not going to make that on the open market. So I really don't know what they're going to do with Aaron Hill.
All right. Well, it's just too bad to see just because everything's clicking finally, and it looks like Snyder and his new swing is doing well, and the pitcher's getting going, and hopefully by next year the core that the Blue Jays have been talking about for years is coming together, and it looks like Aaron Hill might not be a part of it.
Yeah, and who would have said that a couple of years ago?
No kidding. All right. Yeah. Well, long-time listener, first-time caller, thanks very much.
All right, thanks for calling. And really, you know what? 2 years ago, who would have thought in a million years that Aaron Hill was not going to be a part of the Blue Jays' future? But really, that's the way it looks now, and it's too bad. He was 0-for-4 tonight with 3 strikeouts. Whenever there is a Blue Jay who lines hard into an out, it's Aaron Hill. But it's been a year and 2/3 now of just really, really rough time. Really rough time for Aaron Hill. And it's difficult to imagine that. Well, not difficult to imagine that he'll be back with the Blue Jays next year. But certainly won't be coming into camp with a starting job. That's for sure. Unless these last 6 games, he turns completely around. But enough of the bad stuff. Today was a great day for the Blue Jays. Roberto Alomar and Pat Gillick induced into Cooperstown. Then Brett Cecil goes out and throws his first career shutout, a 4-hitter at the Texas Rangers, which is exceedingly difficult to do. He is 3-4 on the season with the win. They beat Alexi Egondo, and they're coming home a .500 team for a 6-game homestand against Baltimore and Texas that starts on Tuesday night.